We are continuing in this series, as Nick mentioned, from Deuteronomy chapter 10, in five things that the Lord requires of his servants. And it was originally written for Israel in mind as the servants of the Lord, as the children of the Lord. But it's been helpful to me over the years to realize that the majority of things that the Bible says about God's relation to Israel to us as his children in our day and age. Things that he spoke to them regarding the nation of Israel, many, if not most of those things don't apply to us today. And so you don't equate the church with the nation of Israel. And some do that. And so you have to recognize. But I'm just saying here that what the Lord looks for in his children of any dispensation are similar. They're the same things. And these five things from Deuteronomy chapter 10 are repeated in the New Testament as well. So we began this series last August looking at the fear of the Lord, looking at walking in the ways of the Lord, loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now in April and here in May, looking at serving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In the printed notes that are available, and if you still need one, they're on the table over here by the door. I have a picture of Christ standing and one of his children as a servant of the Lord kneeling before him. And I think it's a very fitting picture that combines the element of bowing the knee in worship to our Lord and Maker and Redeemer, and then having the full armament of the Christian soldier, as it will, with the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the loins girt about with truth and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel with peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in essence, the picture tells us kind of a cliche saying that in Christian circles we're familiar with, and that is that we are saved to serve the Lord. Otherwise, if we were just saved for the relationship's sake, why wouldn't he bring us right to heaven with him and just begin that aspect of the relationship? But he has left us here, and as a couple of the verses I have on your sheet describe for us, Jesus says to his disciples, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And it's in this context of serving. Jesus came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he came not to be served, but to serve. And he sets the example that we should follow in his steps. And then your memory verse for today really sets the tone of the part two of this message, which is the attitude and the character and the motivation by which we serve the Lord. Last month, we looked at the mechanics of serving, and there were six different Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that we looked at, and you all memorized those, right? And you just have them available just like that to remember. And, you know, just thinking of that in that way, every Sunday and each day of the week that we open God's Word in our personal devotions, we have the opportunity to have the words of life transform our lives. And how much of that input just kind of goes in one eye, out the other, in one ear and out the other. It's really only when that word takes root in our heart and our life that there's anything abiding from a message like even what we're experiencing here this morning. And it's only probably connected to a
recording in progress
that we make to open our hearts and minds to receive the word and then to apply it, to make application to our lives so that it actually has the potential for sticking with us. And my prayer is that the Word of God that as we open it today will be something that the Spirit of God will take and apply that will stick in our lives. That it's not just an academic exercise. And I love notes and I love lists and you know, I'm wired that way, and just handing them to you doesn't mean that there's any life changing from the words of life. And so, with that in mind, I'd like to bring you back
recording in progress.
What we covered just
recording stopped.
April part one of this message. We looked at
talked about what it is
with all your heart and soul, and that the people that have accomplished great things in our world have been people that have been motivated and given themselves wholeheartedly to whatever the task that they were doing in secular realms and academic realms and in whatever the areas of our culture and society and history would say that was a successful person or what they did has counted and left
recording
a
in
lasting
progress.
Impression on the world. And they were motivated people that applied themselves diligently with their heart and soul, pouring everything that they had into the effort. That's what we should do in our service to the Lord. We looked at serving God with or without personal skill, with or without supplied resources, and with or without tangible reward. And that's the nature of being a servant. If you choose to serve somebody, you can set up the parameters of your service, but if you're thrust into a servitude for somebody by way of slavery, against your will or whatever, the expectations of a servant can be the same in either situation. And you either have lots of resources to fulfill what's expected of you or you don't. And the expectations remain the same and it doesn't change the fact of the mechanics of serving with whatever you have. We looked at serving God, and here's a summary of those six words from the scripture. Isn't it interesting that the Bible in the original languages that it was written is so specific to say that there are six different elements and aspects of service, and in our English Bibles, we take all six of those foreign language words and translate them as one English word, serve. We know that phenomenon from the word love. English, just, you know, in L-O-V-E, but in the Bible, we know that there are different types of love, agape love, phileo love, eros love, and so it's just kind of a little encouragement to realize and recognize that the scripture as God gave it is very, very precise. And study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly handling the word of God. And part of that, I think, especially for mature believers in Christ, would be a knowledge. And there's never been a day that the resources of Bible study are so available to us to even look up the definitions of the Hebrew or the Greek or Aramaic. And that should be a blessing. But in those words, we saw working hard, meeting needs, revering God, using God-given talents, serving in any way that's called upon as a bond slave of Christ. Now, one of the most common mechanical servants of our day are our vehicles, right? Our cars, our pickups, our vans, our trucks, our tractors, all of those kind of things. And those are service vehicles to us. Now, you could make a case that some vehicles are pleasure vehicles. Some of them are character training vehicles. I mean, you could have a lot of different vehicles that you own. But to help us cement in our mind just a little bit stronger, I'd like to re-rehearse those six mechanics of our Christian service to God and to others by using vehicles as an example. So here is a squad car, all right? And this squad car is very special. It's many, many decades old. And it has some features that say that this vehicle of service has some specially given qualities that are unique to the type of service that this vehicle is called on to go. And so there are special things about it, and your favorite thing about it. And so when this type of service is being called upon, it's the, you can remember the police car as the illustration of the Greek word latruo, which means serving with the special qualities that God has uniquely given you. All right, so this squad car is serving with the special, unique qualities that was given. And so some of us at varying times are called upon to use the talents and gifts that the Lord has given us in service to Him that are unique to us. It doesn't mean somebody else in the world doesn't have a similar thing, but God has gifted each one of us uniquely. And you would be remiss in your responsibilities to Almighty God if you didn't allow the talents He has given you to be in service for His honor and glory. Now, I wish I had a big five other vehicles here, but the best I could do is the matchbox size ones. Now, those of you that are close enough, what is this vehicle? It's a garbage truck, all right? All right, any of you want to be a garbage truck type servant? The garbage truck represents the Hebrew word sharath. And this means serving or ministering or attending to the needs of others. This type of the servant of the Lord is anxious and willing to help others with the specific needs that they have. And aren't you thankful that we do have garbage service in our day? I mean, it is a necessary area of service. I would be interested in taking a poll after the service is dismissed, and seeing which one of these different ones identify with. And so you'd be thinking about the garbage truck one, okay? Do you have to take out the trash at your house, or does everybody else in the family just leave it to you? Well, you might be the garbage truck type of servant. All right. Now, I was looking for in our vast collection probably 150 of these little grandchildren vehicles at our place. And I was looking for an ambulance and couldn't find one, but I did come across one that says lifeguard on it. And it's the same type of service between a lifeguard vehicle in caring for the health needs of somebody as an ambulance would. But the ambulance or lifeguard type of service vehicle is representing the Aramaic word pelek, and it's found in the book of Daniel. And this is the story of the three Hebrew young men that refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image that was put up. And in our Bibles, it's translated as the men are telling Nebuchadnezzar, we will not serve your idols, your gods. And so that word in our English that is serve is actually the Aramaic word for revere. And so it's a concept of service that is tied to the reverence that one has for someone else. And for the Hebrew young men, they could not serve because they did not revere the idol or the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And so an ambulance or lifeguard type servant of the Lord is serving out of reverence. We will serve and revere only our God and no other God. What type of service would you do that would be out of reverence for God? And really, I think just speeding to the end of that line of thinking, everything that we should do should be for the glory and our reverence to God for what we do. I like this one growing up on the farm. What is this one? It's a tractor. All right. The tractor represents the Hebrew word abad, which this is the type of servant that is doing the heavy lifting. This is the type of servant that is expending physical energies and even mental energies that are necessary to do the task at hand. It is the type of servant that is willing to get down in the dirt and get dirty because it needs to be done. And that's the type of service that has to happen. And aren't you grateful for servants that come along and do the heavy lifting, be it moving from one house to another and you're calling for a work day and a project, or being the one that volunteers to go into the pile of dishes after a big banquet or whatever. This is the servant of the Lord that is willing to do the hard things. And many of us are challenged with that. I'm challenged with that, to be the one that takes the brunt of what needs to be done. And this is the type of service that the tractor would represent. This one is a little hard for you to tell, but it says taxi on the roof of the car. And the taxi servant of the Lord is the deacon within the church, the body of Christ, diakonos. It's the one that serves in the ways that they are called upon to serve. And so when you want a taxi, you call or you go online and you commission the taxi service to come. And so the deacon or the deaconess of the Lord is serving in whatever ways and capacities that they are being called upon to serve. This is an element of the servant of the Lord, is to do what you're being called upon to do. The sixth and final one, I have three different vehicles here representing a host of many other types of vehicles. This is the Greek word doulos, which means bond slave. And we spent quite a bit of time in April talking about the characteristics of servant, of the bond slave. And this is the one that says, I love my master. I don't want to leave my master and my wife and my children. I'm going to stay forever for my earthly life in service to my master. And so the master in the Old Testament would take that servant to the doorpost and drill the lobe of his ear, telling and announcing to the world that this person loves his master and wants to serve him the rest of his life and be with him in that service. And so this is come as you are type of service. And don't raise your hand, but how many of you are the Volkswagen Beetle type of person? Or the fifth-wheeler pickup truck, four-door type of person, or the family person with a large family that, you know, your vehicle seats, this one probably seats 11, but up to what, 15 passengers? And it's representative that however God made you, when you are a bond servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, you serve him as you are. Whatever you are, everything that he has made you to be, you surrender to him. Now, does this help you grab on to the concept of servant of the Lord? All these different motivations, all these different perspectives. And folks, many times we are called upon to serve with a combination of these six things happening simultaneously. And so now we're going to switch from the mechanics of service, which was our April message, to now the character and motivation and the attitude of our service. So on page 2 of your notes, our character and attitude in serving the Lord. Number 1, serve the Lord with gladness and singing. It's your memory verse from today. Serve the Lord with gladness and singing. There's nothing so deadening to the overall experience of somebody serving when that service is done grudgingly or with a sour expression or attitude or countenance in the serving. Parents with your kids, when it's time for the children to do their chores, how many parents delight in a child that does those chores happily, you know, and the first time they're told, or if it's repeated chores without even being told, they do their chores. But it's a burden on everybody if those chores are not done and it becomes a point of contention or rebuke or instruction. That is not a cheerful service. Or the employer to the employee, if that gladness and service is not existing there. Or teachers with their students in school setting. All of the illustrations of life, service is made better for everybody when it's done gladly. And the Lord expects that of us as well. The Psalm 100, verses 2 and 3, your memory verse. Psalm 40, verse 3, He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, the scripture says that God has put a new song in our hearts, even praise unto our God. And so in the service of the Lord, if you're going to serve Him with gladness, many times at least the attitude of a song in your heart goes a long way to making service be a blessing to you and to everybody around you and to the one that you're serving. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I and my mom were traveling to Florida and back to Texas again. And we were listening to an audio tape by Andy Andrews. And one of the expressions or statements that he made in there was regarding singing. And he said that commonly people sing because they are happy. And he put out the challenge he didn't say it in these words, but the smart people or the ones that understand the concept and the principle actually switch that around. In other words, if you're not happy and you want to be happier, choose to sing. Choose to sing. And just the fact that you're choosing to sing will make you happier. It's hard to sing and be downcast. Now, I realize there are songs that are, you know, intentionally written, you know, to be more quiet and reflective. But if you grasp the truth of this, that happiness is, first of all, more of a choice than dependent on your circumstances. This is where the real testimony of the grace of God is shining in a Christian's life, where people would come up to you and say, how can you be happy or joyful or cheerful or at least pleasant at a time like this? And then they name the circumstance that you're going through or that is the challenging. And it gives you the perfect opportunity to say, it's because of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and He has given me His song, and it carries me through the challenges of life. And so we look at serving the Lord with gladness and singing. The Apostle Paul is our scriptural example of this. He and Silas were preaching the Word of God in Philippi, and they ended up being severely beaten, arrested, and cast into the innermost part of the prison there in Philippi. And at midnight that night, battered and bleeding, and in the stocks in this innermost prison at Philippi, what does the scripture say that Paul and Silas were doing? They were singing. Go figure. Broken, battered, bleeding, humiliated, treated wrongfully, And yet the joy of the Lord with the song he had given them was on their hearts, and they were singing and praising God in the midst of their circumstance. I'm saying they were serving God at that time, because the scripture says that as that story unfolds, that the other prisoners were hearing them. And the earthquake happened, the prison doors were open, their stocks fell off of them, they were free to escape, they chose not to escape. The jailer came and was going to kill himself because he had the responsibility to keep all these prisoners, and if he any of them got away, he would be killed himself. Paul encourages him strongly, don't kill yourself, we're all here. And the effective service for the servant of the Lord that is singing and serving the Lord with gladness, you can't imagine the power that is in that type of service. Christians, let's serve the Lord with gladness and see what God will do. It's not just a mirage. It's a real phenomenon that earthly and kingdom work becomes easier and more productive when you're serving with gladness as unto the Lord. Number two, we should have the motivation, attitude, and character of our service of serving with devotion, holiness, faithfulness, consequence, and obedience. And these five words I took right from the passage that Nick read for us from Joshua 24 this morning. And if you would take the time, I'll not take the time here this morning to go through that passage with you, but if you reread that passage, you will see that Joshua and that the Lord was calling Israel to this type of motivation for their service to God Almighty. Devoted service, holy service. And Joshua makes that point pretty strong that you cannot serve, they could not serve the Lord because they were unholy. And so we need to be made holy by the holiness and righteousness of Christ if our service is going to be of any glory to God. And he called them to be faithful, to put away all idols that had crept into their lives, and recognizing that there were consequences of their choices, either to serve the Lord fully or not serve him, there were consequences to that decision, and then with obedience. The obedience, I think, is very, very fittingly illustrated by King Saul in the Old Testament. Saul had, through the prophet Samuel, was told to go and kill all of the Amalekites, a very wicked people that God had determined that their time was up. Their iniquity was full, and now their just deserts were due them. And God commanded Saul to go and conquer them, but to exterminate the whole lot. He disobeyed the Lord. They brought back King Agag alive, and they brought back a lot of the choicest livestock that was there that God had also commanded be killed. And Samuel confronts King Saul over his disobedience to the Lord. Saul makes excuses and says, but we brought all of these things back to sacrifice to the Lord. It was a good thing that we did. And Samuel just cuts right through it all, and he gives us that saying that would be good for us all to have memorized. Behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Obey the Lord rather than conjure up your own methodology. Well, Lord, I'm doing this for this reason for you. And God says, it is better to obey me fully than to create your own sense of sacrifice to me. Number three, we should serve the Lord with the attitude and the motivation and the character of service that is humble. Serve with humility and praise to God. Sometimes even a servant of the Lord can become pretty proud. And pride is not from the Lord. It's from the sinful nature, it's from the devil himself. That was his initial sin before the Lord, was pride, being lifted up in pride. And it should have no place and part in our service to the Lord. We should serve the Lord humbly and serve others humbly. Wicked Haman in the court of Xerxes or Ahasuerus, Queen Esther's husband there, had become very, very, very proud in his service to the king. And so he comes early in the morning one day to ask the king permission to execute Mordecai, right? And that night, unknown to Haman, the king had a sleepless night and bothered by something on his mind. And he was reading in the court records that Mordecai had done this good deed for him. He had identified a plot, an assassination plot against the king. And so he realized that Mordecai had never been rewarded for his act of service to the king. So Haman comes in, the king is there, and tips the golden scepter so he can come in and talk before him. And the king starts out. Haman wanted to start out with his request to kill Mordecai, but the king overrules and says, "Haman, good morning." This is a loose translation. What do you think should be done to the man that the king would delight to honor? And the scripture says that Haman thought to himself, "Who would the king delight to honor more than me?" And so he comes up with, "Well, give him some of the royal apparel and put him on the king's horse and let one of the most noble people in the kingdom lead him through the city, saying and shouting, 'This is what shall be done for the man in whom the king is delighted and wants to honor.'" And the king said, "I like that. Go and do that for Mordecai." And pride goes before a fall. And so, Christian servants of the Lord, be on watch, be on guard for any attitude of pride or self-servingness in your service. If you serve to get the praise of others, you are self-serving. If you serve for any other reason so that you can be served back again in return, that is a faulty reason for service. It's a selfish, sinful reason for service. Serve the Lord humbly and give praise to Him. Now, in our service for the Lord, it is not uncommon for people to thank us for our service. And that's good, and they should do that. They should be thankful, and they should express gratitude for the things that are done for them. But when you are on the receiving end of gratitude, be quick to give praise to God and say, "Thank you, praise the Lord." Let's praise the Lord together. And depending on the circumstance, you might even say to the person that's praising you, "I appreciate that. Can we just pray for a moment and praise the Lord together," and then name the situation that they were so grateful for, so that you are consciously and even verbally praising God rather than heaping to yourself, "Yeah, that was a pretty good thing that I did, wasn't it?" And you puff yourself up, and that is not the type of attitude to have in praising the Lord. Number four, we should have the attitude and the motivation and the character of service to the Lord of fear and of reverence for God. It's a little bit reminiscent of the ambulance type of service, where the motivation here is because you fear and revere God only. Now, the messengers of God that He places in authority to us, we're to fear the king, honor the king, but it's only under God that and His messengers. In other words, the authorities and the powers that be are there because of the authority of God. And when you submit yourself to any authority, children to their parents, an employer to employees to employer, whatever the situation. If you do that submission as unto the Lord, you can say truthfully that I fear God, and therefore I'm going to render this service because it would honor God that I do this and do it in this way. We spent a long time back in August and September looking at this aspect of fearing the Lord. It is a cleansing thing. If you do what you do out of reverence for God, it transforms everything that we do because you do it as unto the Lord and not as unto men. And it can make the dullest of routine matters in our life just come alive with glory to God. Even a cup of cold water, Jesus says, that's given in his name counts to the glory of God. Just something that simple. So dishes, diapers, what's a third D that would be good there? You could have a whole dictionary of D's, but do what you do out of fear and reverence to God. And lastly, number five, have the motivation and the attitude and the character and quality of your service that represents the fact that you are serving with accountability and with deep motivation, because you know that the day is coming, and it's even here in the present, but especially the day is coming where we will stand in person before Jesus Christ and give an account to him of our service to him. Whatever we did in word, in deed, whether we ate or drank, everything will be measured. Was it done as unto the Lord and to his glory, or was it not? And anything and everything about our life that is not done as unto him will be burned away, and we will suffer loss. This is not about our soul's salvation. This is about the rewards and the accountability that we have in our service for Jesus Christ. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment, where we stand before him, and the penetrating fire of his holiness and of truth, everything that he is, will examine us, and anything that is in our lives and the testimony and witness of our lives that was not done for his glory and with the power of his Spirit energizing us to do it will be burned away. It'll be the wood, hay, and stubble that Paul describes it as, and only that which was precious in his sight. And the only thing that we have that's precious is what we received from him. And so, folks, in our service for the Lord, recognize the aspect of accountability, and it should be a huge motivation for us to serve the Lord with everything that we have. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7, Paul summarizes it this way: Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, everything that we do is in service to somebody. Even our free time, our idle time, we are in the act of serving. And the default setting for all of us in the flesh is what? Serving self. And when you're not serving the Lord, or you're not serving others as unto the Lord, all that's left is serving self. Now, there are some needs that we have. And so the fact that we care for our bodies, the fact that we care for our minds, and have a stewardship in this matter, that's not self-serving. That's doing what our master instructs us to do. Bodily exercise profits a little, so we should take care of our bodies. That's not self-service. It's doing the care that we should do in taking care of ourselves as unto the Lord and obedient to the Lord to take care of those things. For a set of parents, the father, husband especially, to not care for the needs of his own, Paul says they are worse than an infidel if they don't care and serve in those ways. But before we were saved, we couldn't help but serve ourselves. After we become born again and we are purchased by Christ and we are no longer our own, but we are bought with the price of his blood and he owns us, now he gives us by his Spirit and by his grace the power not to be self-serving. Now we can choose at any point in time to disobey and not avail ourselves of his grace and power, and we do that, and that's called sinning. And the Apostle John tells us in his first epistle, if we confess our sins, our failures, our transgressions, our disobedience, and he's speaking this to Christians like ourselves, if we confess those things, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so in this life, use the command of God to serve him with everything as you have as a motivation to be right with him and to be clean before him. Have the cleansing of his word, the cleansing of the work of the Holy Spirit, taking the word of God and pointing it deep into our character and into our hearts and our lives to do that cleansing and transforming work of that he wants to do. Christian growth and maturity comes as a choice to us. He doesn't force us to do the things that he says. He commands us to do it. He enables us to do it. But folks, it is our choice to obey, to believe and to receive and to follow him. And Lord, I pray that blessing upon each one in this congregation, that we would hear the word of God and receive it, these words of life. Lord, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would make application of any aspect of the word that we've looked at this morning to our hearts and our minds that are most needful to bring us into greater fruitfulness for you, into greater relationship and fellowship with you in a servant's walk. I pray that the fruit that you will bring into our lives, that you desire to be there, would abound to your glory individually through the families that are represented here and through this church family as a corporate entity. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.